We need to pray for our people that are ill, because I sure miss their smiling faces. And good morning. Did you find Mr. Ray? Good. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you so much for this day, this beautiful Lord's Day. Father, we are here because we feel that it's our privilege to be here, our responsibility to be here. So, Father, we ask that you'd bless those that are here, those that are feeling a little bit under the weather. We ask that you would strengthen, that you would encourage, Father, those that are just needing a little bit of hope, Father, in certain areas in their life. We ask, Father, that you would fill. Father, we ask you to guide our thoughts in this short Sunday school service. Father, we know your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So, Father, we ask that your word would do its work within our lives and minds this morning. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I am not about to venture into Mr. Posey's. Got this adjusted this way, too. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Good, I won't have to stand up. Perseverance of the saints. We're in going to be looking into 2 Corinthians. So if you would, turn there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm not about to take over Terry Posey's Sunday School series, but I want to chat with you briefly this morning concerning our high calling as believers. We find that, we'll read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we want to start in verse 1 and go through verse 10. So I will read that with you this morning, and then we'll take a couple of seconds to look at each verse and see what all it has to say to us. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. Well then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, so much in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Be honest. Yes, thank you. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, and unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing but yet possessing all things. So we find here Paul is giving some instructions to the believers in Corinth. And he is talking about their position in Christ and also their responsibilities in Christ. We have, as believers, responsibilities. Those of us who have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, purchased our redemption by the blood of Christ, we have responsibilities. It is not unusual for us as individuals in this world, if we receive an inheritance, so to speak, we are responsible for that inheritance. So we find also we as believers, having received the gift of eternal life, we have responsibilities in our walk with the Lord. We find that it is beginning at the very basis of our walk with the Lord, in that we have a high calling. It's revealed to us in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We find in verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. The day is today. Paul was talking to the church at Corinth. He said, because of these things that you have received through Christ and his death on the cross, we have a responsibility and the day to begin filling those responsibilities is today. We have a responsibility today. That's the reason we're here this morning. We have a responsibility in our walk with the Lord. And it involves, and here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul is indicating to us that our responsibility is to be blameless, to be blameless. We find it involves cooperation with God and fellow Christians. We find also, we find that in verse 1, part A, it involves the proclamation of the grace of God. We find that following in verse 1, part B, also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. We have a responsibility as believers. And the responsibility that we have should have already started, looking at the amount of hair or no hair or the color of our hair. We have a responsibility that we should have already started discharging as believers. It involves the proclamation of the grace of God. We find in the latter half of part of verse 1, also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Speaking of the responsibility that we have because we have been entrusted with the gospel. It involves the proclamation of the grace of God. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today, not tomorrow, not later on this afternoon, but currently, now, today. It's a responsibility that we have as believers. Have I succored thee? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's an urgency that we have as believers, and it's an urgency that we need to disperse, in our walk with the Lord, and that is the urgency in evangelism. And that urgency must not be stopped by lackadaisical feelings on our part, but that we should be busy about sharing the gospel with those who need to know Christ as their Savior. Our responsibilities. That is, no one else's responsibility. It's not the unsaved responsibility. It's not only the responsibility of the pastor. It is our responsibility, each and every individual of us. So we find here many things that we have responsibilities over. The main one that I find here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is the responsibility to be tellers of the gospel. And so we find there's many opportunities that we have. We can talk with people about the Bible. We can talk with people about church. We can talk with people about doing good deeds. But that's not what we are responsible for. We are responsible for the gospel. And it is it's important that we understand the directive that we have in the Word of God concerning our responsibility in that area. It's our responsibility now as we are here to prepare ourselves to be a witness for Christ as we go about our daily life. We find also in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, our service is open to criticism and blame from unsaved people. Most of the time, the criticism will not come from unsaved people as much as it will come from those who claim to know Christ as their personal Savior, but they have a legalistic outlook on their walk with the Lord. Legalism can kill your testimony. Legalism can kill the urgency of the gospel. Legalism can give you pride, and myself pride, as we consider ourselves against other believers. We should not, as believers, be legalistic in our outlook on others. Most of the time, these legalistic individuals will attempt to cause and will in reality cause much trouble. They will try to destroy your testimony in their legalistic view of you or me because we don't do the things that they feel like are important to do or not to do. We need to be open-minded as far as God's leading. Not open-minded in the things of this world, but open-minded in how God leads other people. We ought to be accepting of that. We find that our responsibility also, we find here in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, is to be approved by the highest type of devoted and selfless service to God and man. That's our responsibility. We are His ambassadors. Yes, we have a primary responsibility to carry the gospel, to present the gospel in easy to be understood terms. But we also have responsibilities in other areas. And we find here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 testings of a servant, which is to honor God. Look with me in verse 4 and verse 5. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. We will be surprised at how Satan brings these testings into our lives. These 9 things. We find Paul describes what they are, the areas. We find in verse 4, in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God in much patience. If you ever want to have a need for much patience, you begin to walk with the Lord in every aspect of your daily life. You will find that you come into receiving these things that will be quite distressing at times to you. These testings that Paul mentions. In much patience. People aren't patient today. Don't believe me, drive down the highway 10 miles under the speed limit. See how impatient people can be. But we see these things as we live this life here on this earth. In afflictions. Be patient in afflictions. You know what? Sometimes my back just really, really bothers me. It's hard for me to be patient when I am in discomfort and in pain. It's hard for us to be impatient when we have to do what the doctors say. And we have to have much patience when our sweethearts, our wives, tell us, you know, the doctor said you need to be doing this, you need to do that. Well, patience. Patience. That's also a good ingredient for a happy marriage, is patience. Go ahead, grin, Wesley. So we find here that these afflictions or testings that we have, humos, nothing more, nothing less than mob violence. Do we see that today? We sure do see that today. We find also that we have and not only mob violence, but in labor. We don't find people want to labor today. Especially Christians, we find sometimes are pretty lazy folks. They don't want to labor in the things of the Lord, especially around the church. But we are to honor God in all of these nine testings. Paul mentions watching, vigil, fastings, hunger and thirst, willingly endured. All of these things, these testings that we have, Paul said that we are to endure with the right frame of mind and the right testimony, these testings that we looked at. We find also here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, nine characteristics of a servant. In all of these afflictions, we can see whether a person is patiently enduring these things for the cause of Christ and for his testimony. But also, as we look into our own lives, we find whether we are we have the characteristics of a servant. Look with me at verse 6. He just mentioned all of these nine testings. We find here in verse 6 how we're to endure these. We're to endure each one of these by pureness. Pureness, not becoming agitated, not becoming grumbling, not becoming, let me say this, it's a shame to even have had opportunity to hear a believer use the gutter language that the world uses in describing some of the events in their lives. But we ought to use pureness in our speech. That's a big, big hang-up that I have, particularly with conversations of supposedly believers when they're going through difficult times, the guttural language that they use. Paul said, we ought to endure these testings by pureness, by knowledge, understanding that these come our way because God has put his stamp of approval on these things that are in our lives that are unpleasant to endure. Also in verse 6, by long suffering, enduring them with a proper frame of mind, long suffering, by kindness, not taking out your frustration, your anger, your shortness of patience on others. I find myself at times apologizing to my child bride because I have been impatient. I've been short with her. And that should not be. Should not be in my life. Should not be in your life. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. We ought to love. God's Word tells us we ought to love others. And there's no other place that's harder to love somebody in your life when you're going through some of these testings, to love others. Verse 7, by the word of truth, you're supposed to endure these things. Be in the Word. See what the Word has to say. By the power of God, we know we in of ourselves cannot endure these things with proper perspective and testimony. But God can enable us to, and we ought to go to Him and get Him to give us the strength to go through these things. By the power of, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. God gives us the strength to go through these testings that we as His children not only do, but will continue to endure this side of heaven. We find by honor and dishonor, endure them no matter what other people say or indicate or claim. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. By unknown or as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing all things. 9 characteristics of a servant. 9 assured but true contradictions of the truth servant, which occur in his life as he honors God in this walk here on this earth. With all the testings, with all the aches and pains, with all of the abuse and all the accusations of others, we are required, Paul says, to endure these things with the right frame of mind. If we look at these, I don't know about you, but I have recognized a lot of my shortcomings in my walk with the Lord. God is able, as we go to Him and ask for the ability to endure these testings, these accusations, these attacks. You know, if we were able to take all of these things that are instructions to overcome and live through the testings and trials that we've looked at here in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, if we were able to do that, and live according to the instructions of Paul here, you know what? I believe people would be able to recognize us as not only a servant of God, but a true servant of God as we walk this way. Did you want to say something, Miss North? You know, that's true. These things are not pleasant. We see some of them, I think, within our church family. Those of us who know Christ and know these are our responsibilities, we have a responsibility to go to these people that are in suffering, testings, trials. We need to go to them and let them know that we care about them, we love them. We need to encourage them. Nothing's harder to go through is these testings without the encouragement of others. Back when our church was through such difficulties back in 3 and a half years ago. There were a lot of falsehoods thrown around, accusations made, And I received, I was a recipient of some of those, in fact, most of them. And I was suffering. There's a man here this morning who always encouraged me. And he said, "Mike, I know you want to leave, but don't. We need you. Wes, thank you." Wes Buckler, that man. And I'll always be grateful to him for encouraging me to not leave under those kinds of attacks. The Lord's good. He'll bring us through. He loves us with a perfect love. He's all-powerful. His will be accomplished, not only in the unsaved, but His will be accomplished in those of us who know Christ as our Savior. God never promises that this life here on this earth, I've never found a place in Scripture that in this world's offerings we can find the peace, the comfort, joy that we should have. Only in trusting God, only in listening to the Holy Spirit, only looking into His Word, and we benefit from the heavenly aspects, promises that we have in the Scriptures. Never find it in people, never find it in programs, never find it in churches, only through the Holy Spirit, His Word, do we find those heavenly benefits that we look so forward to, that will be ours when we see God, Christ Himself, face to face. Then we'll realize all was worth it. We'll be able to stand before Him and Him look at us and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You, Father, for the gift of eternal life. We thank You for Your indwelling Holy Spirit. We thank You, Father, for Your Word that You've preserved down through the ages. And Father, we really, really thank You for those who have lived centuries before us, who knew You as Savior, who were faithful in doing what they should be doing and sharing the gospel clearly and plainly. Until one day, we met up with that individual who loved us enough, who had heard the clear, simple gospel, to share it with us and us respond to it. Thank You, Father, for each one of those who were so faithful in years past, centuries past, Father, that they were faithful to the gospel. Thank You for each one that's here this morning and their faithfulness. We pray, Father, that You would take this time in Your Word and would complete it in our walk with You day to day. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name.